Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 423, as found in your blue hymnal.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it. But keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of James. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you,
Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'Isaiah prophesied, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord.
As a child and a young person, I heard many, many times sermons about the legalism of the Jews. There were many times that this text and others were preached upon as an example of the legalism of the Jews. An interpretation I reject. But in particular, what happened when I was a young person and listening to this story is my thought was, well, wait a minute. Mom makes me wash my hands before I eat. You know, and Mom washes vegetables and fruit that she brings home from the market. And all of us kids have to help with the dishes, the washing of pots and pans. So, what is going on with this story? And then, on top of that, as I got a little older and I started to learn to read a little more closely, I noticed that Jesus quotes Isaiah in a way that doesn't critique the doing as much as the saying. "This people honors me with their lips," which is about what they say, "but their heart is far from me." So I began to realize early on that this is a complicated subject and a complicated text, and that we can't just read over it quickly and simply, but it's one that requires us to wrestle with it. And one of the things that I have learned in wrestling with this text is that there are a couple of different ways that religious behavior can be used, can play themselves out. And especially important to recognize that because we all have religious practices that we follow. You can't exactly say that Jesus was about throwing out the rules, because he encouraged charitable behavior and faithfulness and other religious practices. And St. Paul wrote letters to numerous churches that are in our New Testament now, and letters telling people what to do. So there's this question about behaviors, religious behaviors, religious rules, and the state of our hearts and our souls. So I notice a couple of different possibilities. One possibility that is very important is that the things that we do in the world, the things that we enact, behaviors that we engage, especially ones that we engage repetitively, do begin to shape our hearts and our souls. There are behaviors that we can engage in that shape who we are, that shape how we are, that open our hearts to our neighbor and to God. So, for example, it is a standard religious practice in Judaism and Christianity and all the other world religions to encourage charity. And why do the world's religions, including ours, encourage charity? Because charity opens our heart to our neighbor. And because charity practiced over time becomes a way that we let our values rule our money. So that we learn that money isn't in charge. So charity as an act is a good religious act that is presented to all the world's religions as a behavior to engage. One of my criticisms of people like the people I grew up with who say that only so-called free prayer is valid, the prayer that you create spontaneously that comes, as is said, from the heart. And the problem is not with free prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying the burdens that are on your heart and telling those burdens to God. In fact, we should do that. But that is a way that what's in our heart passes our lips and our mind on the way to God. But when we recite prayers that our ancestors wrote that we have found valuable, what happens there is that prayers pass our mind and our lips and sink to our hearts and shape them. The problem with free prayer only is that it loses half the possibilities of the transformative effect of prayer. Because what we do behavior-wise can shape our hearts and our souls. This is, by the way, classic Judaism. Judaism is based on the idea that people should be holy. God says it, be holy as I am holy. And that doesn't mean perfect and always righteous and always sinless and always pure and clean. The Hebrew Bible does not expect that of people. In the Hebrew Bible, it is perfectly understandable that human beings wander back and forth between tahor and tameh, between good, pure, clean, and impure, unclean, tainted. That it is natural for humans to move back and forth, to sometimes be more pure and sometimes be more impure. So holiness doesn't mean that kind of perfection. What holiness means in the Hebrew Bible is that by attending to how you do life, you come to experience God's presence. So you pay attention to things like how you plant your seed and how you make your food and how you wash your hands and how you run your house. All of these things, you pay attention to them so that you don't take them for granted. And in the process of paying attention, you discover that God is there. That's classic Judaism. Jesus' critique is not of classic Judaism. He tells people, it's true, you can see God everywhere. Look around you and see God at work. Consider the lilies of the field. There's God at work. He is classic in his interpretation of Judaism. Where Jesus is critical is the other way that we use religious behavior. This is the challenge, and it's the challenge for our own day too. It is possible to use religious behaviors as a kind of identity politics, just like we have today. Identity politics is, my way is right and gives me identity because your way is wrong. I'm using a behavior not to open my heart and soul, but to show that I'm right and you're wrong. We do that a lot. We do that a lot in our world today. Much of what people call the division in our society is a division based on identity politics. It's based on that old behavior of, I'm doing the right thing, I'm right, and you're doing the wrong thing, you're wrong and bad and worthless. It happens. And so when Jesus critiques the scribes and Pharisees who say, we've noticed your disciples aren't washing their hands, what he's saying is they're not noticing this and asking him about how do your disciples embrace the awareness that God has made the world for them and wants them to be healthy and whole and safe and clean and wonderful because they're wonderful in God's eyes. And therefore, we have a practice of washing our hands before we eat because it's healthy, among other things. That's not what they're asking. Instead, what they're doing is asking a question that's really a gotcha. Gotcha. See, I said he wasn't traditional. Didn't I tell you he's not traditional? He's a rabble-rouser. They're not even washing their hands. How dare they? That's a whole different use of external behaviors. And that's the challenge for us. How do we use our behaviors in the world? How do we use our religious practices? How do we use our highest ideals? How do we use our vision for how life would be as a practice that opens our hearts and our souls to God and others? And avoid the temptation to use our practices as a way of saying that others are bad and wrong. That's the challenge. And that's what's going on in this text. And what happens is, if the question about the practice is coming out of a sense of making the other person bad and wrong and affirming my own identity, that is something defiling that's coming out of me. Right? It's coming right out of my insecurities. It's coming right out of my need to prove to the world I'm right. It's coming from in me and it's going out. It's just exactly what Jesus said. That's the things that come from within that defile. My need to use others, my need to make others bad and wrong, my need to bolster my own insecure sense of identity, my need to be right. It comes from within. Comes out of our mouths and defiles. So that's the challenge in this story. That's the subtler reading of this story. How do we use our best behaviors? How do we use our religious practices? How do we use those things we do that we try to base on our highest ideals? Are they there to open our hearts and souls to God and each other? Or are they there to bolster us in our insecurities and make others bad and wrong? That's the question.
As you are able, please stand and face east, the direction of sunrise and a symbol of the resurrection, as we recite the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace we pray to you, Lord God.
For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are unloved.
We pray for Donald, the President, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government. We pray for Stephen, Courtney, James, Joe, Andrew, Nathan, Sarah, and Kristen, who serve in our armed forces, and for all people everywhere.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
We pray for the improvement of our societies, our natural environment, and our hearts.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
We pray for those who are addicted and those in recovery. We pray for the sick, especially Mike, Stephen, Ruthie, Ron, George, Hope, Charlotte, Dan, Carolyn, Christine, Caitlin, Helen, Jessica, Rusty, Pete, Sid, Ken, Betsy, Donald, Don, Nancy, and Victor. We pray for the victims of natural disaster, especially those affected by flooding in Hawaii and India.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel,
and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, and Wayne, our bishop, for Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael in deacon's formation, for all bishops and other ministers,
for all who serve God and his church,
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, praying especially for Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities. For the vibrancy of our witness to Christ's love, and for the courage and capacity to serve in Christ's name.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of this life, for those who are celebrating birthdays, Helen, Patty, Dan, TJ, Judy, Michael, Anika, Gordon, and Dennis. For those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Dolores and Herman, James and Catherine. And for those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Elizabeth and Wesley.
We will exalt you, O God our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom, remembering especially Margaret, Nathan, and Dick.
Let your loving kindness be upon them.
Put their trust in you.
Loving Jesus, protect and sustain us with your hand. Open the door of your love, that sealed with your wisdom, we may be free to serve you with joy.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess that we have
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your Spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Honor and praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself. Yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Mary the God-bearer and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tomeo, in the name of this congregation, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body, because we all share in one bread and one cup.
Amen.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, Pastor.